morning to visit with Mr. Weaver this Sunday afternoon late, the 23rd of January.
Channel 2, right. And beginning to visit with Mr. Weaver this Sunday afternoon late, the 23rd of January, 72. Channel 2, right. And beginning to visit with Mr. Weaver this Sunday afternoon, the 23rd of January, 72. A barbershop session. Channel 2, right. And beginning to visit with Mr. Weaver this Sunday afternoon, 23rd of January, 72. A barbershop session. Channel 2, right. And beginning to visit with Mr. Weaver this Sunday afternoon, 23rd of January, 72. Channel 2, right. And beginning to visit with Mr. Weaver this Sunday afternoon, 23rd of January, 72. A barbershop session. Channel 2, right. And the beginning of the visit with Mr. Weaver at this barbershop session, late Sunday afternoon, the 23rd of January, 72.
Channel 2, right. And the beginning of the visit with Mr. Weaver this Sunday afternoon, late, the 23rd of January, 72.
Channel 2, right. And the beginning of the visit with Mr. Weaver this Sunday afternoon, late, the 23rd of January, 72. Channel 2, right. Beginning of the visit with Mr. Weaver this Sunday afternoon, late, the 23rd of January, 72.
Yeah.
Well, I started to come over here. The thing coming. It's looked like I'll be there all day long. Nobody won't come if I get in a hurry.
Yeah.
Do something. Somebody happen to drive up.
Yeah. You know, those things aren't hard to eat. You like these?
No, I wouldn't care for one. Yeah, those are good. Those are good for you, too, when you have a cold or something. And it's good to use them along.
Yeah. Have you bought any recently?
No, I haven't.
Oh, yeah. So you'll know it when you buy them.
Way high, aren't they?
Oh, they're high.
You know I weigh them every day. about a week ago, and maybe 2 weeks ago, and I had to have it. My brother got a dozen, I believe it was just 10. Kept through the corner, and Mary charged me $1.79 for them. Oh, goodness. It'd been up once before, a little over a dollar.
Why, that's inconceivable, Mr. Weaver.
Well, she does mean that with a lot of times.
Oh, just cause you?
Yeah. She gets to drinking a little bit. She'll sure do that for me. I bought a sack of dog feed for her one day, and she charged me $1 too much for it. I knew it. But I guess at the point, I had to have it.
Yeah.
That's where it was with the corner. I had this cold, just take it on there, and I had to have it. Down, went right on down to Thrasher's. He didn't have it right then. Next day or two, he had it. And, 79 cents. Oh, the coffee was the same thing.
She just added a dollar.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want too many friends like that, Mr. Freeman.
Well, you're going to have some that way. It don't matter where you're at. You can move, and all you want to. When I was a little kid, I got thinking one day. I was plowing one day, and I was thinking. Some of the boys got drunk and had a little disturbance around the church, and I thought that all very bad, you know. And got thinking that I'd like to go sometime. Go someplace where everybody was good. After a while, it come over me, you know, one place, and that is to live right and say, oh, heaven, go to heaven as long time, and the longer I stay on this earth, I won't never be that way.
We'll never find it.
And today, I haven't found it either. If somebody don't do something,
now,
it's really wrong.
And but you found that out when you were just a kid?
Yeah, I wasn't half grown.
Well, how'd you happen to do that, you reckon?
Well, that's just the Lord's work. I told him, "Lorraine, try and get you. It wasn't me. I'm not that smart."
It just come to you.
If you ask the Lord in the right way, it's different than if you adjust from them teeth out. And if you promise to do certain things, leave off certain things, if you don't do it, that's pretty bad. When the judgment day comes, if it comes like that we think it will, according to our Bible. Now, some have different Bibles, I reckon, what others do. I know, I seen one once the old Holy Bible about 4 or 5 years ago. Fella kept reading the Bible to me, and that's why I told him, I said, "How about reading certain verse and chat back over to me?" And he read it back over. I asked him, I said, "That isn't what the old Holy Bible when I was a kid was saying." I says, Then I told him, I don't remember just what it was now. I said, "Can't remember one of these things like I could as a kid." He said, "Oh," says, "reading," says, "we changed that because nobody wouldn't understand it, what that meant." Well,
yeah.
I told him what it said in the old Bible.
Yeah.
Well, the old Bible tells you plain if you take from it or add to it. I don't remember just how it, I couldn't quote that just exactly like it is. It's pretty bad.
Well, Mr. Weaver, did your papa and mama? Now they were church people.
They read out. We'd be playing by. Now I learned a lot about the Bible before I could even start school.
They read it out.
Yeah, read it out to the children. And if there's working and one of them busy, the other one could hear it. You know.
Boy, is that right?
See, there's a large family and it's always doing something. We never did stop too much. I wish I had something like good eating had back then. Different what we have now.
Yeah.
Well, can fix everything on the farm ourselves. We didn't have to buy enough of flour and sugar and salt. It's about the only thing we ever had, our own meats and everything, see? But
yes, sir. And you didn't know there'd ever be a time when you wouldn't have that.
Yeah, you take we'd have maybe 2 or 3 bushel of dried
apples.
Yeah, and we'd dry them ourselves and put them in and ever sun them along through the winter. Sunny day, warm sunny day, you know, catch it good sunny day, put the ball out, and then put them in flour sacks, you know, and it'd keep just as good as you ever. I guess you've done that too, haven't you?
Yes, sir.
How about drying about 5 or 6 bushel of dry beans? You only get about a quart out of a gallon when you snap them up and they dry.
Yeah.
But when you wet them and they swell up, you know what they'll do?
No.
They'll become right back the same size when you put them in water and soak them.
What sort of beans?
Dry beans, snap beans. You just dry them, put them out on boards and...
Like green beans?
Yeah, green dry beans. That's a different taste. It's altogether different. I liked it really better than I did the canned. Well, you take anything canned. We canned back then in the glass jars was better than a canned dollar. And didn't hurt people too bad.
No. They didn't have all the chemicals.
No. Well, I can't eat them now if you don't turn and pour all that juice out of there. The way I do canned beans, I pour the juice out. Then I pour it. It's best to pour a little hot water in there and rinse them off again and get that cannon, all that back out. It's better to do that now for me. I can taste them there. And it forms the gas in me.
Mr. Weaver, I never heard of dried string beans.
Lots of people out there, but all the people up there around now then in North Alabama where I grew up, we had them. It just wasn't just us. And if some had hard luck, you know, usually everybody had a few left over, they'd divide up with each other, you know.
Well,
They give each other, they didn't tell them to them, they just go ahead and you won't even cut off the top this time?
Sure. Just a little bit, you know, sort of lay down. Well, I don't know why I wouldn't hear about that. We done.
You all did the same thing, I guess, when you was you.
Sure.
Of course, you're not quite as old as I am, but
you're
still doing that long after I was grown.
Sure.
But you can't do that now with everybody. You think there'd be someone here all fine for you to give them something.
That's
a
right.
A lot of people don't, they don't aim to work.
They don't aim to. Now, when you read the Bible or listened to it, they could have been doing anything, couldn't they? Drying beans or anything.
Oh yeah. Some of them, see, wanted to read and see they weren't working, but them was doing, and I remember them, dad and mother doing that when I was playing around, man. Too small, I never started school.
Yeah.
You know, I think that'd be a lot better than buying all these motorcycles and trying to hire these children now to do right and don't do no good. You can't tell.
No.
You see how they.
When did your daddy and your mama do most of the reading?
Well, it was on Sundays, and they wouldn't work on Sundays on just what they had to do.
Sure.
They didn't do any kind of work unless it now. A case of emergency, you know. They said it's all right if the ox fell in the ditch, take it out, but not push it in there to get to take it out on Sundays. That's what the Bible said.
But now,
you know what it means about that, don't you?
Sure.
Means don't plan to do that on Sundays.
Yeah. Through the week, they wouldn't read much.
Didn't have time. They worked all the time. Read at night a little bit.
Read it out?
Yeah.
If they read it, they'd ought to be generally
They'd read it both ways, but you know, if when they want them to hear it or hear that, and or if they wanted to hear it, you know, one was working, wanted to hear it, or anybody else could hear it, you know. See, they didn't have many Bibles then. People couldn't afford those high-priced Bibles.
That's right. That's right.
And someone would come, maybe they'd want to talk about the Bible, you know, and read it and find out something about it. I wanted to get that book, got the old Holy Bible. I know it, Noah, see, I don't remember where he got the clock. First clock my dad and mother ever owned, he's got it now.
He has it?
I reckon they still got it. They did have it in the store when they laid old Tug's place in the window while. They got afraid somebody would break in and steal it, you know. And
what did you get?
I got my granddad's old finishing trial and my great-grand's finishing trial. And it wore down to the one about 8 inches long.
Oh, really?
And it was made out of steel. It was steel. You could sharpen and cut it like a knife.
Oh, I know.
And I lost it. I put a window in for Buck up there, and when he moved over to another place, and I'd loaned out all my other trials, and I took care of that enough there and put it in there, and somebody got it. And I've never seen it since. I wouldn't have sold it for $100.
Your daddy built kind of like you are?
What did I say?
Your daddy? Or he built kind of like you are?
Built kind of like I'm. You mean in size?
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't as large as I am. Wasn't as tall. I was tallest one in the family.
Oh, really? Well, where did you get your size?
Well, most all of the weavers was larger now than his mother was a bond, and they're small type of people, you know.
Oh.
Well, my mother was a she was a Dodd, and she is her mother was her mother was maiden name was Blackstock. And she married a Dodd. He had a big red, there's a big red, red nose eyes. And his father was, his mother was Irish, and his, I believe his grandmother was. His mother was Irish, and his granddaddy was a German. German, they say.
So you didn't have real big people behind you?
Well, now then the weavers, some of the weavers weighed over 200 pounds. A lot of them did, you know. But my father was the smallest one of them.
Oh.
He took after the bonds, you know. His mother was a bond, and they're small people, you know.
Oh, I see.
You know, they had a tribe of Germans up there in Tennessee, well, close to Loretta. You've been around there, I guess, haven't you? You've been around that part of Tennessee. But
no, that's not my part, Mr. Wheeler.
I see. Were you in the west or eastern part?
I was up in the northwest corner.
Northwest. You were in that... not Chattanooga, but Chattanooga's the east part, northeast, I think, ain't it?
It's in the south central.
Yeah, that's right, south central, where Chattanooga is.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I used to, when I studied it, when I was in school, I was telling you about all those things that slipped my mind. Can't remember it now.
Well, it'd come back to you pretty fast.
Well, yeah, you got to study, get thinking about it, and you remember it later. Of course, the older you get, as old as I am, I can't remember good like I used to.
You probably remember better than you used to.
I remember things way back when I was a kid better than I can know what happens now.
Well?
I can explain it better.
You remember all of them pretty well. I haven't seen you having any trouble.
Well, I think I should do better than I do, you know, and after I asked the doctor one time in the 30s, and I was sick in a week, you know, I got to where I couldn't remember. My blood tested 50%, my pressure 55
mm-hmm.
for 4 years. I said, I got to where I can't remember from one day to the next where I talked to anyone about anything now. I said, what's causing that? He said, that's easy to answer. He says, you're just so weak. He says, your blood don't test as 50%.
Yeah, that'll do
he
it.
He says, now when you gain when you get to where you can eat and gain your strength back and get your blood pressure built up, so you take it very good as you ever could.
Yeah.
And I did. I couldn't. I couldn't do anything hardly. And it worried me, you know, because right back then, I'd been a pretty good businessman and keeping up, and I kept my own books all my life.
Yeah.
I never did hard on bookkeeping. A hard one, too, you know, they didn't work it like I wanted one. Well, I had to have mine up to date. And or whatever, 2 weeks, I had to make a report to Tallahassee and everything I'd done, what I'd done.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they had law and purple and said I had to do that, you know. If I didn't pay you but 5 or 3 cents for a possum hide, I had to report that. Put that on my daily book, you know, what I bought and paid for it. And I did not put down what I paid for it, but I had to put down the, who bought it from and the license number and everything. Then I'd put it off my ledger.
You had a right smart figuring to do, though. Paperwork,
yeah.
Paperwork.
A lot of it. I had about 3 or 4 buyers buying for me, too. And I had to keep up with the bank and do all the grading and shipping and billing out and answering the letters and everything. I did not know the number, but I had a... What was that big typewriter, such a good one back then?
Remington.
Remington?
Royal.
A Remington
Underwood.
Royal. Underwood. Underwood's what I bought, $110.
Yeah.
It was a good one.
Big upright.
Yes, it was.
Oh,
big.
They did make them then, Mr. Weaver.
Wasn't they good? I bet you don't get them like that now.
No.
I sold mine. A friend kept wanting it. I got sick and the surgery and I couldn't use it and I couldn't ride and I had to quit business and everything. And a friend of mine kept wanting it and his wife liked it so well and he'd done me a lot of favors. He wouldn't give me $35 for it. One day I decided I wasn't going to be able to use it. I kept it 2 or 3 years and didn't have no use for it. I told him, I said, I'd rather just lend it to you, let you use it. No, he says, we don't want to do that. I said, well, take it on, and give me $35 for it.
Mm-hmm.
He done me a lot of favors, you know, and I reckon he figured that this, anything secondhand wasn't worse like it was than you, but $110.
Yeah.
With a good one, and it still worked just as good as it did, and I got it.
Yeah. And you thought of that many times, haven't you?
Yeah, I wish I hadn't done that,
yeah.
That's what I used it to do.
Yeah.
I never needed it so much, but the way it is, if you need it, you got it there then.
That's right.
And it's worth it a lot. It's just like when I was trying to get these papers straightened on those dogs. See, Mr. Donahue at Miami was the one that's putting up the money.
Mm-hmm.
And so that I couldn't get nobody to hardly have time to do any typing for me. And eventually kept on. Until I got to where I could get it done, you see. Well, if I'd have had it, you know, I could still use that old hunting tech system.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I use. You use a touch system, don't you?
I use a little of both. I peep, as the fella says.
Well, I use a little of the touch, but I was afraid to try to do too much. I planned on studying it, you know, if I ever got time, and I got sick and couldn't work.
Yeah.
I never did study it.
Uh-huh.
Never did buy another typewriter.
Now, you bought the machine yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bought it myself.
You went up there to Gainesville and got it?
No, I ordered it from the company in Chicago.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, you didn't buy them here in stores then. I haven't been in Lincoln for very long. Well, I've been down, I reckon, 3 or 4. About 3 years when I bought the typewriter. I could use it for a long time before I got it, but I thought that was so much to put in one, and come to find out after I bought it, you know, I should have had longer earlier. See, I knew I hadn't had any chance of taking typist, you know. I never did care much. I You remember the LaSalle's Extension Business course through the mail?
Oh, yes.
I took a business course from there.
Isn't that something?
After I came to Florida.
Well, it helped you. I bet you.
It helped some, but you know, I've been around and worked in stores for people and watched all the bookkeepers, you know, and when around coal mines and all of that, how they figured things, and down there and watched them do these things like I did Barbara.
Yeah.
So I didn't find too much. I hadn't had the experience with it after I took it. This is quite a bit. It helped a great deal. Or a lot of things that you don't pick up like that was in it, you see.
Yeah.
One thing that the first thing it started off with was to not tell your business, you know.
Oh.
Not everybody's business and nobody's business, you know. You heard that expression, I guess, haven't you?
And they said not to tell your business.
Not tell your business.
Just keep it to yourself.
Yeah. That's one thing I couldn't keep my wife from telling about fur business. Somebody come in and ask where I bought fur and who I bought them from, and everything. She'd tell them.
Yeah.
And I'd say, you wouldn't have done that. I said, I had to hunt these places up. Well, he said, I wanted to know you was doing big business. That's what you say. I said, now, if you're going to tell everything, I can't let you work here. I wanted to keep my books and post them, you know, transfer my books and do that for them. But I'd tell her how I wanted to fix, you know, and the bookkeeping, a special bookkeeping way, and where anybody or inspector come along could just take the books and check them, you see.
Mm-hmm.
She was a school teacher, you know. She says, I thought this would be better this way, and I didn't do it like you said. She said, I changed that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I couldn't turn it, send it in. Did they send it back to me?
Mr. Weaver, let me go out here just half a second. I'll be right back. Can't get my leg out. And I was going to sleep. That's the problem.
That'll do it.
Bring Mark on in. Let him visit a while.
Who's that there?
He's one of the boys that hangs around.
Oh, I thought you said Mark. I didn't know whether Mark Richardson or not, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're fine people.
Well, you speak for yourself. Mr. Mark, this is Mr. Weaver. That's Mark Spivey.
I think I met him before over here one day.
Was
they
over here?
Yeah, I met Mark over here.
Yeah, I drove the driveway and I took a look at that card. I said, now the barber's here.
Mark, oh, the chair over here. We can at least sit down.
Come on,
well, you want to sit over there and look in the light face.
It's not especially pretty sight to look at, but.
Put a chair on here where you won't have to look in the light.
It's all right. This is all.
Throw that old thing off, Mark.
Yeah, I think I met you not over here before. I don't know what it was. I believe the last time, may have not been the last time, but one time I was over here.
Let's see, are you a barber and a Macintosh?
I don't barber, that's...
He's my private barber.
I'm just an ex-barber. I had to quit back in the 30s, in the first four, long latter part of the 30s. My feet won't stand from legs. This is hard on your feet and legs.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
It sure is. Of course, it's not hard on them like they used to be me when I stood there from 7 o'clock to 2 o'clock the next morning and didn't stop to eat.
On
Saturday. That's a big day, you know, and you had to take care of all that country trade and out of town, little town trade and all like that. I had a barbershop up here in town. I run one in Lynn, Alabama for my uncle, and I run one Nauvoo for a fellow over there at Nauvoo before I came to Florida, and I decided that I wasn't going to barber, you know, and going to go in the sawmill business, and I had to work it out a while to learn something about it before I did it. Market went down so bad I quit that, and I When I came down in Florida, a man wanted a barber and make it open. I went to work for him.
Mr. Wynn?
Yeah, Mr. Wynn, Charlie Wynn. He from Stevenson, Alabama, and I from Noble, Alabama.
Close together?
Yeah, he is in Sand Mountains on the east, northeast part, and I was in the northwest part.
Oh, you was northwest?
Uh-huh. I was about 50, 60 miles from Tennessee line.
Yeah.
About that from the Mississippi line.
Yeah. Well, you were way over there. You worked for him when you come down here?
I worked for him a while, and I bought the shop, bought him out.
$600.
No, not that time. The first time I bought him out, it was 110.
Yeah.
Oh.
110. Then I sold it to another fella. I fixed it up and straightened it up and cleaned it up and fixed it up and built a trade up, you know, build a business up a whole lot. And they'll come along and give me $300 for it.
You doubled your money.
Yeah. And I went to work then in the state, and I was still running the fur business in the wintertime. See, that just lasted 90 days. And I'd always tick off for that. And
how much cleaning did you have to do on that shop, Miss Wheeler?
Well, I did it myself. I cleaned up the chairs, you know. There's wooden chairs, mostly made out of wood then, part of that one. I cleaned that all up and painted it and things like that. I don't mean that I had to clean it because they didn't wash it off or anything like that. But I cleaned it up and painted it and made some changes and put in some things, electrics.
What'd you put in?
Well, it's hot water and different things.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
How'd you heat the water?
Heat it for wood.
Wood?
Oh, you kept a wood stove?
I'm too thin, that's all you had.
Oh.
You had to. You didn't have all this stuff, you know, back in the first 20s.
That's right. It came in about that time.
Yeah. Didn't come in. Everybody, it took a lot of money to buy that stuff in, too.
Yeah. Did you have a great deal of business then?
Well, when I first began working in the shop, I only took in about $10 a week to my part. I got 15 cents for a shave, 25 cents for a haircut, I believe it was, we got then. And
could you live off that?
Beg pardon?
Is it enough to live off of?
Enough, but you couldn't beat it nothing else at that time. That is during the panic, you know, when time was off. A year or four when I tell you I stayed in a hotel and it only cost me $7 a week.
That's a good deal.
The whole
like the final
$7 a week, you know, and I mean, plenty to eat and everything, and I paid $7 a week for the hotel bill.
Gee whiz.
And that gave me $2.50 a week left to buy a little smoking and laundering and clothes and things.
Yeah.
And I had to buy very few of that. So, of course, now I soon built it up. I don't mean bragging about that. I don't mean boasting, but I'd had a lot of experience in barbering, and the other fellow was out of barber college. And that's the difference was in it. He hadn't had the experience I'd had.
Mm-hmm. Barber
college don't help you too much. It helps you if you have another barber. But here's what I'm doing. Practice is what does the work.
In some ways, barber college could hinder you, as I understand it, Mr. Weaver.
Well, there's things that they taught the boys to not to do that they told me they taught that in Barbie. I didn't go to college myself. They said never ask your customer how he wanted his hair cut.
Oh, never ask him.
Never ask him.
Mm-hmm.
Says go ahead and cut it and get the money. They teach him that.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't care for that at all.
Well, now, if you cut a man's hair two or three times and you don't get cut like he wants it cut, he's not going to come back.
Yeah.
He's going somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I told this barber, Mr. Wynn, I said, Mr. Wynn, I said, that won't work. I said, if I go in a barber shop and a man don't cut my hair like I want it, and I go give him three chances and he doesn't do it, I don't go back no more. I go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I said, other people do the same thing, not just me.
But you give him a chance. You give him several chances.
Yeah. I'd always go in there and if they couldn't, you see, if there's another barber in there, I'd try him. If one, I'd go to another barber shop.
Well, that's part of it. They knew that, too.
I knew that when I was a kid, you see. I'd see other barbers when I was a little fella before I went to barbering. I'd watch all that. My oldest brother cut hair some, but he didn't cut much. Now, Buck worked a little bit when he was going to Howard College at Birmingham. He worked some of that in Birmingham, see, Saturdays and evenings.
Mm-hmm.
Saturdays, especially here while he was in college.
How many people were working with you? How many other barbers were in that shop that you
with me?
Making up
here? We just had two.
You counting you?
Okay, yeah. Nice. Just two of us. See, Micanopy is a small town. See, I got the country in from other small town. In fact, when the ladies went to having the haircuts, we got quite a bit of ladies straight out of Gainesville and Ocala.
Oh, ladies would come to your shop?
Yeah, they didn't have no beauty parlors then.
Oh.
Nobody. Well, the barbers had to cut the ladies' hair.
Yeah. I kind of like that.
Yeah. Mr. Weaver, when you came there, though, everything wasn't just clear sailing in Micanopy at that time. They tried you out.
A lot of them had fun in kidding me.
Yes. Now, you know, Suzanne couldn't tell it, but you had told her and to get you to tell that sometime. Now, you, while Mark's here, I'd like to hear that. What you told Suzanne, and I don't know how it was, but they tried you out.
How do you mean tried me out? They tried me in several different ways.
Yeah.
They tried me to see if I was honest.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they put money around and see if I'd pick it up. No thing like that.
Mr. Wynn?
Yeah. People would try you to see if you was honest.
Oh, really? Mr. Wynn?
Yeah, he said he told some of them, and they told me. He said he put money down to see if I'd see the man I was working for in the barbershop.
How about that?
Well, that's all right. I didn't care. And he told him, says I can trust him. Says he won't pick up a thing.
Yeah.
Well, you see, that was a business proposition. Mr. Wynn was a pretty good businessman. He'd been in business before.
Yeah.
You can catch people stealing a lot of times.
And you want to know ahead of time, don't you? You want to know about it.
I'd have been better off if I'd have found it out before they got stole a lot.
Oh, you mean they got you?
If you've ever been in business, they've got you. Now, there's somebody that's slick as anybody else about that.
You mean in the barber business? In the barber shops?
Well, in any kind of business. It don't have to be barber business.
But they got you in the barber business?
Well, there's people who come in and got haircuts on credit and left and never did pay it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, not getting you?
Well, no, because you knew ahead of time whether they'd pay you or not.
No, you don't. You don't know a stranger every time. You got to, back at that time, there's lots of them wouldn't beat you. Now, some of them would send you money back after they leave. Tell me, I'd tell them, I said, well, go ahead and forget it. I says, if you get a chance to help somebody else in distress, help them. I says, said, that's all right to me. I don't care for that.
Oh, that's when they come in without any money.
Well, that's people that come in there that was working and got out of a job, and then before they found a job, they had to go somewhere else. They'd have to leave. I had one barber work for me, and he told me, he said, I was working on commission while I was in the car business. He said that he had used some of the money, and he was going to go to another place, you know, and I was going to take back over as the first scene is over. And he said, I'll send it to you. And says, here's $8. I borrowed this from my brother-in-law. And he said, I owe you some more. I'll use your money. I said, you forget about it. Go ahead.
Oh, really?
I said, he's from Barber College, too, over here in Jacksonville. And he said, I tried to make a go of, but I just didn't make expenses. I said, that's all right. You sure did hit me a lot. I'd have had to pay somebody else or I'd lost on somebody else if they'd have been here. And I says, go ahead. He says, I'll send it to you. I says, don't. You need to send me anymore. I says, you done helped me a whole lot anyway.
Yeah. He held it down for you while you were...
Yeah, and see what he paid me. I paid that to help pay expenses on the shop, you see.
Yeah.
And I told him, I says, if you hadn't helped me, I says, and nobody hadn't helped me, I says, I'd had to pay the rent on the place just the same. I was renting the place, and I said, I've been sitting here. God, I said, I make more in the fur business than I do in the barbershop.
But this time, Mr. Weaver, this boy, young man, this fella came in, and I forget his name. And this was this Saturday night? And he was going to shave somebody.
There's several of them come in and go playing like that.
Yes.
Go play like want to shave someone?
Mm-hmm. Just having fun, you know, cutting up, drinking.
Yeah.
They just meant fun. They didn't mean they were going to hurt the man.
Yeah.
Well, I imagine they did once in a while.
Well, it would have been to pull that razor across, not knowing how to use it. But they wouldn't do it, you know.
Yeah.
They won't pull a razor across you that way.
Yeah.
They like it.
Yeah.
I take a pocket knife, someone don't know I've ever barbered, you know, and tell them be still, and I just take that pocket knife and rub like this here right down there like I was using a razor this way.
Yeah.
See, I can use a razor any way like that. I can take a pocket knife and do that.
Yeah.
And they didn't know I was a barber, you see, and they're afraid I'd cut them. They wouldn't. They said, don't cut. I said, don't move. I'm going to cut you. He said, I'm not going to move.
Yeah. How about
that? They'd take you out, like they're going to take you to ride or anything like that and try to scare you, you know, just for fun, you see. They weren't going to hurt you. Those fellas are not going to hurt you.
No.
You didn't pay no attention to them. They just going to have fun out of you.
Just pranking.
You're like, once you were talking about, went and walked in a man's place, the shoe shop down, picked up a rifle, went out and played like you were going to shoot him through the window. Well, he wasn't going to do that. He just cut just to...
Now, what was that?
You heard it.
Tell it again.
I said, the man who come in there one time, and he just walked in the fella's place, picked his gun up, walked out, and played like he was going to shoot him through the window from outside, you know.
Was that your place?
No. I said, the shoe shop.
Oh. Well, that's
he not. Just, he wasn't, they won't hurt you like that. You need to be afraid of one that's cutting up right away.
Well, they don't cut up like that now, do they?
No, they don't do that now, but they did see one... They did back at that time, you know, but we're back in the 20s. You go in the place back up in Tennessee, out up in Tennessee, you know. And fella came down and told me he lived up there. He said, somebody asked me, he said, a boy, a certain fella asked me, he said, would you fight? He said, I told him I didn't know where he would or not. He said, I told him to try and see. Just, you know, just want to have a little fun, you see. And this fella never did say nothing to me about it, you know. And I never did know what the man's name, who the man's name was.
Mm-hmm. They're just pranking, Mr. Weaver.
That's right. They're just like, did I ever tell you about the Georgia boy moved into to up there in Alabama and when we'd play like we were drinking and have sweetened water and mm-hmm. pass around like whiskey?
No.
This boy came in there and all new strangers come in. They moved in there and they'd come play with we kids, you see, and we'd get us a bottle and put sweetened water in it and play like it's shine. Drink it, you know, yes. Pass it around just like we were drinking. Just playing like kids will, you know. So that this boy from Georgia, every time he'd pass him the bottle, you see, he'd turn up and drink every bit of it in there. We got planning, you know, how we were going to stop and break him from that, you know. We didn't last. We'd make it last us all day long or while we was playing, you know. So that after a while I told him one day, I said, I know what we'll do. I said, our mother's got 5 gallons of pepper salts. And I said, I'll go and fill my bottle up with that pepper salts.
Pepper sauce?
Yes, I mean yeah. Strong pepper salts.
Yeah.
And when I did, I told him, I said, now one of you all pass your bottle around, and he never did have any, you know.
Yeah.
I said, you boys pass your bottle around, one of you all first, and next time I'll pass mine around. So we did that, and we was all watching, you see. And I said, well, the second time, I said, it's my time, about the second or third time, it's my time to treat the crowd now, just like
sure.
people yeah. drinking would back then. So that, when he passed it to him, I said, he's from Georgia and a stranger. I said, let him drink first. He turned it up, you know, and he's going to drink that whole bottle, a half a pint, you know. And he said that the first swallow he didn't feel it burning, but the second one he did, and the third one went down before he could stop. I didn't think about him drinking it that much of it, you know.
Now how was that, Mr. Wheeler? The first one what?
He said the first one didn't burn, but the second one did, and he said the third one went down before I could stop it. He's going to turn up the bottle and drink it all like he did the other boys. You know, from then on, we passed him his bottle. You know, he'd take a little sip of it like the rest of them. Never did do that anymore. Now, that was, I always figured maybe I was a little bit dirty doing that, but I'd want to done that. Let me check on your head a little bit right here.
Let me stretch my legs just a minute. I'm going to give you something up there. That's it. Are you going to put on a little something?
He thought he was.
No,
drinking.
I've got. Listen, I've got to go. Go on.
Well, you don't have time to carry.
What say?
You don't have
don't,
time.
Don't
to
go ahead.
Carry.
I've got plenty cooked up. I've got
okay.
peas and stuff already cooked
well,
up.
Well, give him some of that little country to take along, Faye.
I'll take it. Rain check and
Faye,
yeah.
put this
sometime
on.
When
you
I'm
Sue,
going.
Aren't you?
Okay.
You Sue?
Yeah,
just I was going to get this hair off of you and check down and see if I got all this on your neck.
Let me tell you, Mr. Weaver, one of my neighbors over there, Miss Guthrie, they're over there trying to remodel the house and put a roof on it, and they can't get anybody to help them. Now, you know, when I came down here, just a short time I've been down here,
uh-huh.
when I came down here, there's plenty of fellas around that you could get to help. But there ain't any more. I don't know a soul I could get
to. So many of them belong to the union, and they've got to work where that they send them.
Oh.
And you can't hardly get nobody I pit around sometime to take it myself. I got on the roof the other day and I shouldn't have done it. And hit like that killed me. My heart went bad that night.
Oh, is that right?
Got up on, and it was hard. It was a friend of mine, and they was both sick. And he's a carpenter, and I'd work with him some. And they kept on bagging me till I got up there. And I told him, I'd been putting them off up since last spring. I said, if you can get someone, go ahead and get them. If you can't, I will get up there and put on those, just a few rolls of roofing up there, roll roofing. And I just can't do any climbing anymore.
Oh no, it's a pretty hard job, especially when you're not used to it.
Well, you see, and
let me tell you now what would you do? I think Mr. Guthrie Marvin once told me that they had gone down to Sears, and the Sears man offered to put a roof on over there. Now, they'd put that plywood sheeting on.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what thickness they'd use. Half inch?
It's half an inch.
Well, now, that plywood won't hold a nail, Mr. Weaver.
Yes, it'll hold, but there are tar and shingles, except an asbestos shingle. A half an inch thick was that ridges the nail goes down in there, and see the tar from the shingles, if it's asbestos shingles, it'll go in there. I mean asphalt shingles, but asbestos shingles, you have to, it's hard to put those on, but they'll last, they don't get broke, or you'll never have to cover them anymore. I put them on all kinds of it, but you see, I can't stand humping around and getting around on that. See, I've got two bad legs. So this left one's going
well,
right on me now.
That they made her a price over there. She thought they'd charge $1,000, and they made a price of $2,000.
Well, a fellow there in Micanopia, and I couldn't do it for him. I wasn't able to do it for him. And I done a little piddling carting for him when I was hopping around on this bad leg, and it's so bad. And they charged him $1,500, and I sworn I could put them for $500.
Well, that's
I could have made money, $500. They charged him $1,500.
Well, now what you gonna do? How you gonna get a roof on?
Well, if you can get someone that can stand it, I can tell you how and show you how.
Can.
But it just nearly kills me to get up there and try to do it myself. And if the fellow that's working, I can tell him to keep him straight, you know, and help him out. But for me putting it on, I told him when I come down and done that, put on a few rolls of sheet roofing up there, and happened to be wanting to put up down this way, and that's the easiest way to put it on. I couldn't put it on steep roof, you know, this long ways. I couldn't put it on down by myself. I used to, but I can't now. I can't afford to do that.
How'd you put it on?
Well, he wanted to put, you know, the long ways up and down, like that tires up and down there instead of crossways, you know.
Yeah.
And just all you had to do is to get up at the top and cut out what a lot to go down to the bottom, just let it roll down.
Oh, the roll roofing.
Roll roofing, roll down.
Well, what is wrong with a tin roof?
Tin roof. Well, a tin, this is no good nowadays, they make. It's just absolutely no good. I've got a few pieces of tin that was bought way back in the 20s or 30s. Did it weigh twice as much as a piece of corrugated tin will today, and it's better right now.
Yeah.
It won't last long.
If you had some of that old corrugated
they
don't have any of that anymore.
They
got that
must have been built, put up wrong in the 20s or 30s. It was 28 gauge.
Oh, really?
And I could have bought more of it.
Yeah.
But I started to buy some more and just keep it, you know. And I wish I had. I'd have bought quite a bit of it that time. But I was working in all the time. But I just didn't do it. Let me get this out of your way here.
We haven't seen either side.
Let me move this out of your way, then. Go ahead and get that, then I can get it. That's how I roll.
Oh, yes, sir.
So I went last year and got up there on the roof of the fellows, and he did all the work, and I started it off for him, and
yeah.
I just have to lie down and crawl around. I can't get up on this right leg yet. And my left one's, it's so bad and hit and stooping over, he just don't do the work with it. I want to. Then I've got to lie in the bed 2 or 3 days, you know, and get over it. It don't pay.
Now,
I don't mind doing this for now and telling them how I'm showing them.
Now, this could very well run into a depending upon the damage that was caused when this was pulled out.
The union, not surprisingly, all but this. Briner.
Took me a long time to do that, didn't it?
Well, you could almost get yourself a trailer.
Well, I tell you, it's
house.
Yeah, it's got to be serious, Mr. Weaver. You've got to hire these people to do these things, and they're going. You know ahead of time they're going to charge you two prices.
Yeah.
And you can't do it yourself. You can't get anybody to help you.
That's right. Just like Jack Hare and Jack Sanders, is Leo Mary had a little garage she wanted to build there, you know, and. She wanted to get someone out of Gainesville and me help them. She thought that, you know, that I didn't know and weren't able to do it, you know. And wasn't able to do it, but a little old piddling job, I can go out there and work. If I don't feel like it, go to the house and lie down. I can do help somebody like that. But for me taking a job, I can't work. I just can't do anything hardly.
You see, old Jack Heron, he's out, and old J.R. used to do things.
Well,
and he's quit anything.
He's quit working? Well, he's working with state road department.
He won't.
County.
He don't work out, you know, he won't take jobs anymore.
J.R. don't take any more machine jobs or anything? I thought he took, he won't work on your car. I know he quit that a long time ago.
Yeah.
Because J.R. was a good mechanic.
He's a good mechanic.
He was better than Buster.
Yeah.
I don't know whether he's any better or not, but he done better work.
I wonder why in the world he gave it up.
Well, when Buster come back out of service, you know, he always slicked with his daddy and mother, you know, and he took over the garage.
Well, J.R. could have worked over there where he
lived.
Yeah,
he could have worked there, but he is working... He's working for Bohannon.
Yeah.
See, he worked for Bohannon a long time, J.R. did.
Yeah.
When Buster come back out of service. See, J.R. was running. Well, Buster never would let J.R. work where he worked. He'd always slipping around on him, telling things on him to his dad and mother. Well, J.R. weren't that kind of a boy. I never did know him do it, but Buster done. I happened to hear it.
Buster's all slick.
Yeah. Well, that was their business. None of mine. I ain't got no business having nothing to say about it, you know. That ain't my business. And
who you get to fix your car, work on your car now?
Well, I'll tell you, don't get anybody much. I'm going to go down here at Orange Lake to, and that fellow down there at Orange Lake's got a junkyard. So I'm going to go down there and let him do mine. Those fellows Mickanope, you can't get them work on. If you do, they won't charge you three prices.
Yeah. Well, I
can't afford it. I haven't got the money to pay those prices.
Mr. Reeves, the only trouble in going down there to Fred's the junkyard is he don't have...
He's got more than he can do.
Has he?
Yeah. He can get new stuff if he needs it. If he's got old stuff, it's all right, and it's just been put in a car. Well, you take that car I had. left down at Wirch's, and they messed it up and tore it all to pieces, brought it back, and then never did fix it. Took out parts.
They really got you.
He still got my battery in there. I just had paid $30.50 for it. And he never brought it back.
Yeah. So you think you do better at that job?
Well, you can go ahead. I can go ahead and take out papers for those fellas. I could have sued those fellas and got judgment against them and all like that. But heck, I wouldn't have got nothing. It'd cost me more than I'd have got out of it. And I just had to let it go.
That's really what happened about your. About that Williston business. Did you get that settled?
Williston? I've paid part of it. I haven't paid it all yet. Oh, there ain't nothing they can do about that but to let me pay it as I can.
Well, it's a great surprise to me that anybody got all head up about that.
Well, you think the woman, $44 of it, you know, and an insurance company had never sent the money, and you see, the insurance company hadn't sent the money, you know. Well, they can't even sing it. Now, listen, the way they've done it now, if I didn't want to, I wouldn't pay it. But that ain't right. I owe it, and I appreciate what they've done for me, and so I'm going to pay it.
But welfare was supposed to get it straight for you.
Well, they said there wasn't nothing they could do, you know, about it.
Yeah.
And
they could have got it straight.
Well, the only thing they can do is to do this, is if the insurance companies, you see, now God, they've ain't sent me a check. I've got a check now to carry and give them over there, but I want to pay them the rest of it all at the same time. And I went over there and had the check and was going to pay it all one time, and I had the money. Now I haven't got the money. I had to use it to get the. You see, I had to take out insurance on my car, but I couldn't even drive it. I couldn't come over here.
And that cost you?
$75 or $80-some-odd, $87. And I just haven't got the money to do it with.
That's too much, Mr. Reaver. I believe I hitchhiked.
Well, I started to not do this. I think sometimes I won't even take the examination in March. I got to take it in March for my driving license. Well, now, I've been driving ever since long in the 20s, first of 20s, and I've never hit nobody, never had a wreck, never hit a tree or nothing like that. I've got stuck several times, you know, it's a lot of sand going straight and out to dig out and all like that. I've been hit a few times, but I never did hit nobody, and that was my fault. I've never had to pay a fine in my life, never had the Lord come to get me about anything.
You never been fined?
Never been fined in my life.
Well, I have.
Never had to pay a fine. Well, anybody can accidentally be found, you know, do something. It's just like now. I drive my car, and when I didn't have liability insurance, if I'd have had a wreck, bang, she'd have went. But I didn't have the money, and how could I, what could I do? If you see, if you haven't got the money, you can't do anything. You can't pay these bills. If I could get out and work a little bit and pick up some enough, I could pay them easy. But you take that hole they filled up in my shoulder, and it hurts me all the time a lot. If I work or do very taking exercise much, use my arm and hand, you know, I don't sleep that night for it. I still can't feel it. I can't lie on my right side on account of my heart, and I had to lie on it so long when I was first operated, I couldn't even lie on my back nor that shoulder. Until it went back on me again. And my heart goes bad on me. And I have to get up and sit up and it just beat this way.
Mm-hmm. And well, I'm glad you don't get on.